Well, hello, and thank you for joining us for our 2022 year-end review. It's great to be with you today. I'm Brennan Crane. Lots to go over. We have so much in this one year that we could talk about for hours on end, about how our community has grown, about some of the unfortunate parts of our community's history in this one year alone, and then, of course, that good news as well. We're going to try to touch base on quite a bit of that, but I do want to encourage you to do this. If there's any one story that I mentioned that I'm going to talk about covering myself, or if we have other folks in our newsroom that have covered it this year, be sure to go back and read that story for yourself to get a little bit more insight into what we're talking about, because there'll certainly be some of those. So without further ado, let's kick off from January 2022, where we started the year. If many folks remember, last December, we were dealing with a lot of tornadoes, severe weather, and things like that. And the turn of the new year, it was no different. In fact, there was an EF1 tornado that touched down in the Hinesville community on January 1st, and that was a one way to bring in the new year. And then a few weeks later, we welcomed in our first bit of winter weather with quite a bit of snow and icing event, and that went on through February. So that's in the way of weather. We touched base on that, and we go through those circumstances. You know, one of the things I recall are the FEMA centers that were set up there in Cave City. Folks were getting help there for weeks. FEMA, they were set up there for several weeks, if you remember, at Cave City City Hall. Another part of the severe weather highlighted faulty sirens here in Barron County. That was a big part that I recall in the Hinesville community and in the Green Valley community in the southeastern part of the county. The Green Valley siren, it was corrected, but the Hinesville one, I just checked on this a few days ago, and the Hinesville one is still yet to be corrected. That's because they're still waiting for that to be installed. But the emergency management crews, they do a good job in this, and they responded in an exceptional way when this severe weather really took hold of our area. So again, that's where we are going in that direction with those faulty sirens. Now, one thing that I had forgotten about until I started looking back on our year was the fact that our filing deadline had changed for our election. Our political office filing deadline here in Kentucky, it's pretty early. In fact, it's one of the earliest, I think, here in this general area. Usually you have to file by office by the 1st of January, or you cannot run or be on the ballot unless it's as a write-in candidate. But the filing deadline was actually changed. That was huge because a lot of folks don't remember this, but we actually didn't have really any candidates that had filed for Glasgow City Council up until that filing deadline changed. So thankfully it did, because we would have been dealing with a skimpy city council ballot if we didn't have that. Also, something that we'll talk about as we trek on through this year are the ARPA allocations from the Barron Fiscal Court. That really headlined the fiscal court agenda this year. The ARPA money, the American Rescue Plan Act funding that was given to the Barron County Fiscal Court, they set out to divide that up and figure out where they wanted to put that. And they started taking applications essentially from a lot of different groups, nonprofits, volunteer groups, the volunteer fire departments, healthcare sector. All of those groups had submitted their requests to the Barron Fiscal Court to get in on some of that money. And up until just recently, even in fact, we're recording this today here on Friday, December 30th, and they have just recently still been processing some of those contracts from the healthcare sector to get those premium payouts to local healthcare employees. So we'll touch base on that too as we move forward. And then one thing we can't forget either is the South Green Elementary School construction. That's been going all year long, and wow, they've made a lot of progress on that. I remember particularly when the school board started thinking about this, they were getting some quotes and things like that. They were looking at architecture designs. They were hearing from architects. And this is a costly project, but this is one that certainly is needed. South Green School there along South Green Street has needed some upgrades for years, and they are going to be building this. It's going to be an impressive site, especially as you're coming into Glasgow. You can already see that construction there. One thing that happened in January in the way of school news was the extension of Keith Hale's contract. Mr. Keith Hale, he was the former superintendent of Glasgow Independent Schools. His contract was extended back in January, and that was a little bit before we even knew that he was going to announce a retirement in May. And then we'd find out later in the year that he was overpaid for accrued sick days. In fact, we are still following that story heading into the new year. It's a little bit unclear where the school board sits on that. They've really been trying to keep that pretty quiet, as you can imagine, and we don't know exactly where Keith Hale is going to be heading with that. Pretty much it's boiling down. Will the school board have to litigate to get their money back, or is that going to be something that Mr. Hale gives up back to the school board? And that's yet to be determined, so we'll be following that in the new year. Out on Highway 90, they've been doing some construction. They've been doing that bypass around the 88 community, and wow, that right there is going to be a major project that will be unveiled come in the spring, so we'll be looking out for that. If you're traveling in the 88 community out toward Refuge Church of Christ, you've likely noticed that there. They are going to pretty much make that a widened roadway, just like they did several years ago on that stretch of roadway that pretty much took over where the current Burksville Road starts heading down the hill as you're exiting the city limits of Glasgow. That's what they're going to do right there in the 88 community, and that'll allow a lot of congestion to be alleviated there for the residents of 88. A couple of things before we move on through the year two. We saw the loss of several folks in our community this year. In January, we lost a former PVA Brad Bailey. He died at just 58 years old. We also saw the loss of several others throughout the year, and we'll be touching base on that. Charlie Evans, the son of the late liquor store owner Chuck Evans, he unveiled his new book about his father, and we have a copy of that book. We've read through it, and we talked to Charlie about that last January, and wow, what an interesting perspective he could provide there. So if you haven't given that one a read, go ahead and do that. And one story, too, that sticks out from January to me is one about a family that was in a mobile home fire on Smiley Court. That's just right there near the Boys and Girls Club or the Hero Center here in Glasgow. Smiley Court fire, I responded to that fire out there when it was called in. Went out there, and the first thing I noticed was just the havoc. A fire scene is very hectic, and the Wood family there unfortunately lost a portion of their home. And we'll find out later in the year as we trek through about July how they found some hope with their fire and their tragedy. Moving on to February, D.T. Froge, who headlined the Glasgow Electric Plant Board of Directors for several months, he issued a departure letter at the latter part of January, but eventually that news broke in February. Mr. Froge left the EPB with quite a bit of points about his feelings with that. And if you recall, he was a strong opposer of the Infotricity model that was formally orchestrated there by the former superintendent of the utility, Billy Ray. DT has now been gone from the EPB for almost a year, and that was a very controversial term that DT served there. But still nonetheless a very interesting one. We had quite a bit of winter weather in February, if you recall that. So the Ford Drive Jail location was demolished, and that is now a green space, at least for now, but a portion of that parking area there, that is being headlined in the current City Council of Glasgow meetings because they want that portion of property from the Barron County Fiscal Court. They want to park their vehicles and trash trucks there, potentially, because now that the Judicial Center project, the new courthouse, is underway, they are going to be using what they now have as a parking lot there. The Barron County Public Properties Corporation has possession of that land, and they're going to be using that to put the Judicial Center in that area. So we'll be looking out for that. And in another loss in the month of February, Tim Gillenwater, a longtime attorney here in Glasgow, he passed away, and we noted that there in about mid-February. Mr. Tim Gillenwater passing away there, and quite a bit of interesting news coming out of his law firm as well. There was some division that existed there about dividing that up after his ownership passed away, obviously with his passing away. And we didn't really follow that through the year, but we did note that there in the court system. Something else that popped up in the court system that was a major story was the Barron County Family Court holding the welfare agency here locally, the Child Welfare Agency. They held them in contempt. And about that same time, later on in March, we would have a story breaking about a social worker that was allegedly connected to some child abuse in her home. And that was quite an interesting case as well. Later on in the year, though, we found out that that case would be dropped given that she followed some stipulations. So I believe that she is set for a hearing later on in March of 2023. and we'll be following that, connecting the dots with that. The Highway 90 upgrades, they officially began in February. We teased that just a moment ago from January, but they did officially begin back in February. And also upgrades, talking about the marketing and branding of the city of Glasgow. That was a really controversial thing because the city of Glasgow spent thousands of dollars. And you know, a lot of folks don't really realize what branding is, what marketing is. And for the city of Glasgow essentially to be getting a new logo, a new font set up, and all of that kind of thing, really just translated for the masses as this is a waste of money. Couldn't we have done this a better or more efficient way? Well, that's the question that still exists. Hopefully the city will still employ that. The strategic plan that they received a few years ago from the Kentucky League of Cities, it is currently sitting there as well to be employed. Lots of things for growth in there, lots of good things that could propel Glasgow to new heights. But again, it has to be executed, and we'll see that hopefully with the new mayorship and with the new council. The governor made a visit to the Glasgow and Barron County community to present water grants for the area, and that was Metcalf County and Hart County both attending that as well. They received quite a few million dollars for some water grants. The big thing here is that a lot of folks don't realize, but water system here, the water infrastructure in Glasgow and Barron County is really superb. In fact, our cleaning facilities, our treatment facility is absolutely superb. They have won the area-wide optimization award for years, and they continue to show that success. But a big part of that is that there are several lines in this area that need to be replaced. They're still left over from the 50s. Some of that water extension from the treatment plant at the lake to the city, you know, that's several miles worth of water line that has to be laid there. And as you can imagine, it is a very, very expensive project. As we trek on through the year to March 2022, Glasgow Police getting a new training facility, and that is coming up nicely. If you're driving along Happy Valley Road and you look to the left as you're heading toward the red light there with Reynolds Road, you will notice that training facility is coming up nicely. Glasgow Police, they intended to have this completed back in the fall, but I believe there was a little bit of a delay there. Alliance is finishing up on this, the new training facility there. They will have a maintenance garage inside that facility, and that's huge because the city of Glasgow currently leases that garage there at the corner of College Street. That is the current facility that the Glasgow Police uses as a maintenance garage, but Mayor Harold Armstrong reports that it's leaky and that it's costing the city. So they instead tried to build this new facility, and that's where they're heading right now. The TJ Community Mission Foundation announced in March that they had reached a new fundraising record. And wow, isn't that impressive? That group, they do a lot of good work here in Glasgow and Barron County. That's the group that's overseeing the Shanti Niketan Hospice Home. And that hospice home has become a very good resource for many people in our area. You know, we did not have a hospice home in Glasgow and Barron County until that facility was built, and now it's servicing families. In another political visit, we had a couple in March. The first was Ryan Quarles, who visited Barron County. He was here, and he visited with FFA students on the courthouse steps, spoke to those students, and really that was a promotion for the Ag Tag renewal that happens in March, and that's a big thing here in Glasgow and Barron County and Cave City, Park City, all these communities that we have here. We have a very, very large agricultural county here in Kentucky. In fact, Barron County is the number one beef producing county in the state of Kentucky. Isn't that impressive? And Mr. Quarles is the ag commissioner. Also, we had Charles Booker visiting Glasgow that same exact day. I remember covering Quarles' visit across the street at the courthouse steps, went across the street to the Fine Arts Bistro, and that's where Charles Booker had stopped on his Senate campaign trail. Charles Booker has tried to unseat both Kentucky Senators Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell. He's been unsuccessful in both of those attempts, but doesn't look like he's backing down anytime soon. He appears to have some steam, and he'll be pushing forward to unseat one of those guys eventually. That's his hope. And just as a tidbit here for the history of it, Glasgowopoly was unveiled in March. That's that Monopoly board that is Glasgow-themed. A lot of folks were flocking to Walmart to get that. They were sold out there for several days, and Walmart, you know, restocking those. That was an Ohio-based company that actually produced that game. You know, we saw a lot of dealing with horses and animals this year in the Barron Fiscal Court. A lot of folks alleging that that was a political stunt. The current judge executive, the outgoing judge executive Michael Hell being one of those. The Barron County Progress leading a lot of that coverage that Hell has called misinformation, lies, and simply slander and libel, among other things. That coverage there began really in March of 22. The county voted no to buying a trailer for animals. Now, we received some information during a fiscal court meeting from some officials saying that the animals that existed in the county, they get all kinds of calls, loose cows, loose livestock, however you want to look at that, and they were asking for a trailer so that they could get those animals moved from a scene before they go somewhere. In fact, there was some chilling testimony from Aaron Bennett, who was the former jailer of Barron County. He talked a little bit about how when he was a sheriff's deputy, if he was out with an animal and he had to go to another call, sometimes there was no choice but to put that animal down with his service weapon. So that's, you know, it was interesting to see that the county voted no to that. And then a lot of folks are familiar with the fact that after that, we dealt with quite a bit of horse reporting. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we closed out the month of March, we had a great feel-good story with Shelley Vance, who is the public safety officer at Glasgow Police. Shelley had accidentally parked in a handicapped spot, she said, and that started a big Facebook war, if you want to call it that, a social media havoc. There was a photo posted of her patrol car in a handicapped spot, and we touched base with Shelley and actually found out that Shelley had wrote herself a ticket and paid for that ticket. She did all of that discreetly, and we did find out about it. And as a point of editorial note here, you know, that was a good story to cover because Shelley is an honest person. Shelley certainly did not intend to do that. And after we talked to her and discovered that, it was really interesting to put that out, you know, because we try to clarify things, especially when there's some misinformation out there. April was a busy month. Wow. Starting off that month, Dalton's Law. Dalton Bishop died in November of 2020 after a fentanyl overdose. And we had followed that story. You know, it was pretty low-key or discreet at the beginning, but Representative Steve Riley working alongside Dalton's family to get this law passed, and this law essentially made it tougher on folks who were convicted of trafficking in fentanyl and other illicit drugs, and that was a big thing for our area. The Summer Spa seizure. Now, Summer Spa used to be a massage parlor that existed next to Gondolier Restaurant, where it currently sits along Rogers Wells Boulevard there. Summer Spa was seized after there was an investigation that found human trafficking existed there. An individual eventually pleaded guilty to some charges there from that. But again, that was an interesting case because human trafficking is not something we see here often. Now, the Summer Spa issue, we learned some graphic details. They were offering sexual services to clients when they would come in, and a lot of repeat customers that were going there. Some folks were speculating about that. But again, the big thing is that we really wanted to focus on with that is that it happened here in Glasgow. My understanding is that that individual was sent to the West Coast for some psychological evaluation before they would return here to perhaps discuss that. In April, we lost former County Judge Executive Freddie Travis. You know, Freddie was a very, very interesting man. Freddie served as Judge Executive there at the turn of Y2K. He turned there in the early 2000s, and Freddie was a very interesting man. And we mourn his loss along with the others that we've talked about already. You know, our community loses great people every year. Some of those folks obviously have had great impact on our area, and Freddie, he was one of those. Unfortunately, sometimes our government partners don't exactly do the right thing they're supposed to do, and that was the case with the Glasgow City Council. The Attorney General ruled that the Glasgow Council had violated the Open Meetings Act, and that was something that we called because that is our duty here in our community. We try to make sure we're holding folks accountable. The Glasgow City Council violated the open meetings law after they went into a closed session to discuss a proposal to build after they had already released that proposal to the media. In fact, they tried to get that proposal back. Danny Basil, the city attorney, sent me a letter asking that I do not publish any more information about that. I didn't publish any information, didn't really have a reason to, but for the city to kind of come back on something that they had already released in an open records request, that was a new one. We had some overgrown trees and roots removed from downtown. Wow, we started last year with those trees around downtown, and the only trees that remain there now are the ones in front of City Hall. It's a little bit bare out there when you're looking at it, but that's just the nature of it. We had a new business rumored in the Glasgow and Barron County community. It was Dunkin' Donuts, and folks will know that that did come to fruition after the year's end. The horse saga, as many people are calling it, you know, we've been dealing with that for 2 years already. Magistrates shockingly coming out earlier in the spring of 2022, acting like they really didn't have a clue about these horses. But that's really when that horse reporting began to get really, really aggressive. And we started trying just to explain, where did these horses come from? These horses that we were talking about, these were horses that were subdued from a family that owned them. But the individual who actually owned the horses had pled guilty in court to some animal cruelty charges. And the judge executive that is outgoing, Michael Hell, he had alleged that that individual there had already pled guilty to some charges. So to be going back on that, for that individual to want those horses back and allege that the county took them illegally, Mr. Hell thought that that was wrong. But we've been following this story. It's still going to carry over because the lawsuit was eventually dismissed by Judge John Alexander here in Barron Circuit Court. But as we would find, that has now moved to an appellate court. The Turner family is appealing that case, still alleging that the Hales took those horses wrongfully, that magistrates took that wrongfully. They sent a letter to magistrates in mid-December of 2022 saying that they would hope that magistrates would do the right thing. And so we'll be on edge to understand how that continues on through the new year and in the new administration. Well, May of 2022, primary election came about, and wow, we had a Republican base that was strong this go around. Republicans officially tipped the meter over to the majority as far as voter registration goes, and that certainly was the case as well when we compared that to how many Republicans won here locally. Eventually, we would see that we would win the Republican side of things with our judge executive's race, and that we would have that moving on to our PVA as well, and some other offices, most of our magistrates. And then on the Democratic side of things, we would see that office there for our coroner's office, our sheriff's office, and, you know, some of our magistrates there as well. And looking at the Democratic versus Republican bases here, Democrats used to dominate elections in Barron County and most of the South. That was just the way it was. But now that's the right opposite now. It's flipped over to the Republican base, and that's the way we're seeing it. A lot of candidates there in the primary set up for jailer, particularly sheriff also. It was interesting to see how that got narrowed down and eventually would come to fruition in the general election. Another big thing that headlined the news in May was the Glasgow landfill charges increasing. That began in May, but that would eventually come to fruition in June and July, and we saw several community members upset about that. The landfill charges went up, which meant that several counties that dumped their trash here in Barron County, like Allen County, for instance, that drew some anger from those folks and a lot of private entities as well, like Lakeside Recycling. They were upset about that as well because they have to pay those fees in order to dump the trash at that facility. Moving on to our June of 2022, we were still talking about the election. You know, after May, we had the unofficial report in June where we were talking about that. And then moving on through November, we followed the election all year long. One of the big parts of the election was the voting centers. Now, in the primary election, we only had 4 voting centers, but we moved up to 8 voting centers in that November election. And that's a huge thing. That happened pretty much at the turn of 2020 with the pandemic. They did away with the former precincts. You know, Barron County used to have over 20 precincts that folks could vote at, but that's not the way it is anymore. Folks are voting at voting centers, and those voting centers there are seem to be a really a good thing for a lot of folks. They allow you to vote anywhere in the county, regardless of where you live. And that is impressive for some folks, but others that live in smaller communities like Relton, Beckton, those places, or even in the northern parts of the county, they miss going to that place that may have been just a few steps out of their front door. In June, we also covered another appearance by Governor Andy Beshear. He was in Park City that time presenting funding for a sidewalk project. That was big news for Park City. Also, gas prices and inflation really amping up this summer. If you recall, gas prices nearing $5 a gallon, and thankfully they're back down in the $2 range. But a lot of businesses here locally, they were they were impacted. And one of those that we covered was the Corner Shop here in Glasgow. They operate a flower shop and gift shop. And Joy Wilson, who runs that flower shop there, she had to make some changes to her delivery fees. In fact, she used to not charge one, but she actually placed a delivery fee in action after gas prices really were just getting too high, those dividends closing quickly as businesses were seeing overhead costs increasing greatly. And this story at the time, we didn't know it, but it became even more special as Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II would pass away on September 8th. Baker Cowan, a local youth, he had sent a letter to the Queen, and he was celebrating her Diamond Jubilee there, and that was 70 years on the throne for the Queen, and she sent a letter back. There was a letter from Buckingham Palace addressed to Mr. Cowan, and it received he received a dollar, if I recall correctly. He was thrilled about that, and that's just something that was special as a little tidbit to put in there to remind you of. Officially in June of 2022, that's when the horse lawsuit was filed against magistrates of the Barron County Fiscal Court, Michael Hale, the judge executive, and certain members also that were involved in the seizure of those horses, some animal control officers and things like that. In that lawsuit, Greg and Brittany Turner alleging that the county wrongfully terminated their horses and that they had suffered repercussions for that. Again, as we said a while ago, that lawsuit was eventually dismissed, but it is now back into an appeals process. Well, we talked about some cold weather and tornadoes at the beginning of the year and through our winter, but we had some extreme heat happening in the area in June, and that's a little bit hard to believe considering that in December here we've had extreme cold back right there in the Christmas weekend of 2022. We've had extreme temperatures getting down as low as negative 24 as far as the feel goes outside. But back in June, we were having extreme heat and cooling station. They were being placed across the community, one of those being at TJ Sampson Hospital. The community of Park City, they received their own deputy, the Barron County Sheriff's Office, working on that deal there with Park City Mayor Larry Poteet and commissioners there. They now have a designated Park City deputy, and he patrols there in that community. Scott Young, who served as the Glasgow Water Company's overhead for several years, he retired from the water company, moved on to the Kentucky Water Association, and we covered his farewell, his party there that they held. Scott had a wealth of knowledge, always a great person to work with, and we hope Scott's doing well. Well, after the departure of Keith Hale from Glasgow Schools, they were looking for a superintendent right after the school year was over. Pretty much all summer long, they had to have an interim superintendent. Larry Hammond served as that. And we would eventually see Mr. Chad Mullenkamp being named to that post later on in the year. In July, it was a tragic time to see the Richardson Stadium fire. That happened at Goren Park, and that stadium there had stood for several years, home to many generations of Glasgow High School baseball, and that was a really sad thing. You know, I remember covering that. One of the big things that I enjoyed covering was just hearing the stories. A lot of folks recounting their time as baseball players. Sam Royce, who's the baseball coach, talking about his time as a kid there and then eventually coaching there. We saw a new business open in July. It was Maple and Pine Bowling Alley there at the former Highland Bowling area there along Park Avenue. And what a wonderful thing to see. New businesses opening. They have interesting dishes there. They have a sports bar and bowling alley there. They're a little bit more geared toward adults, but my understanding is they still have some availability for family time as well. Unfortunately, we had a few train accidents this year, and that was no different in July. A Grayson County man died along State Quarry Road near Park City Stone. You know, a very, very sad incident indeed, and that is still ongoing. The family of that man is still trying to find some way, perhaps, to get some work done in that area and maybe across the state at some of these rural railroad crossings. We've been following this, and we expect to see some of that still followed into 2023. And, you know, I mentioned the Wood family back in January. They had their house fire, and that was a very unfortunate thing. But they found peace in July after that. They received some good news from county government that they would be getting some money to help with their home's reconstruction. And that was such a good event. A lot of folks in attendance there, the Barron County and Glasgow Boys and Girls Club, helped raise money for that. and they awarded that money to the Wood family and that was some good news there. They were awarded that money on Trigg Court over the summer. The Museum of the Barrens, the Cultural Center, they unveiled a new exhibit on their third floor. And wow, what a wealth of knowledge that exists there at the Cultural Center. If you have not been up there on that third floor, check out that exhibit. It showcases the 60s, 70s, and onward, and there are some cool artifacts there. One of those being the former governor from our area, Louis B. Nunn. He actually has a suit located there at the Museum of the Barrens. They have it in a glass container there. You can see that suit for yourself. It's his inauguration suit. Also, several political memorabilia, some old things from the green stamp store, and just roadways that used to be dirt roads here locally, and now they're full-blown infrastructure. It's just absolutely impressive. Follow those through at the Cultural Center, the third floor. You will be happy that you visited there. And lastly, we want to make note that Camp Curry had to be canceled for a week due to COVID there back in July. And that was unfortunate. A lot of families, you know, had paid money for that. They were reimbursed, but I know those kids were disappointed. Camp Curry has been a big tradition in this area for several years, but that summer camp unfortunately had to be canceled there due to COVID. Moving on to August, we saw those floods in eastern Kentucky that really headlined the news all month long. A lot of folks there, unfortunately, suffering the loss of their homes and some passing away. And, you know, that was a very, very tragic time. Luckily, here in our area, we did not have that, but we did have a little bit of flooding here and there throughout the month and throughout the year. Also, we covered in August drastic drop in gas prices, and that was some good news for a lot of folks. Remember, just a month earlier, a couple months earlier, we had discussed back in June how gas prices were nearing $5 per gallon, and that certainly placed a strain on a lot of folks. One of the big things that we've covered all year long is the Judicial Center project, and now that we're here at the end of the year, they have closed on those properties. The Barron County Public Properties Corporation now holds the deeds for all of the land that they need to build that. And one more time as a review, the Barron County government is overseeing that project, but they are not paying for it. The administrative office of the court is going to be funding that project completely, and that funding was earmarked in the state budget. $32 million earmarked originally, but I'm told that they're going to be asking for more money for that project since construction costs and things like that have drastically increased. Worldwide Tech announced that they had plans to expand in Glasgow, a multi-million dollar project, and we've not heard a lot about that. Economic development is pretty quiet, just from the standpoint of those businesses not wanting those proprietary details to be out and about. We tried to keep touch with our economic development sources, but again, those things are kept quiet a lot of the time until we can actually get something on the ground. We did have some information come down about the KTEL battery factory. That is something that was going to be placed there at Donnelly's, the former LSC Communications. But the battery factory, they announced they had some intentions to shift their focus because even a couple of years ago, the world was a little bit different. But now they're wanting to focus more on new avenues. But they still tell us that they are planning to locate here in Glasgow. They have a few people that do work here, but certainly do not have hundreds of people like we were expecting at this point. Jersey Mike's opened in August. That was some big news for our community here locally, just getting another restaurant. And we would eventually see Jersey Mike's, and we would see Marshall's and Five Below, all of those there developed by Larry Glass and some of his business partners. Great news for Glasgow because it just gives people an additional reason to come to Glasgow, come to Barron County, and to shop here. And lastly, to wrap up our August wrap-up, tourism was flourishing. Wow, what a good news report there. And a lot of folks don't realize, but Barron County has so much to offer, from Mammoth Cave to the lake to even our cities here. Lots of things for people to get involved with. And it's hard to remember that when we live here because we're so used to everything. And we think, well, there's not this, there's not that. But really step back and look at what we have here and how far we've grown even in the last couple of years, considering the pandemic, among other things. In September of 2022, we covered more of the Judicial Center, but one of the big things, we covered Kelly Kraft joining the governor's race. Kelly would eventually hold her opening announcement rally here in Glasgow on the square. Lots of folks in attendance to that. Our WCLU News' Luke Pierce covered that. And what a wonderful event for people just to get out and enjoy. Now, Kelly Craft is joining this race that is heavily dominated by a lot of Republicans. We're interested to see how that goes. You know, she was the former ambassador to the United Nations under President Donald Trump. And she holds very strong conservative beliefs. And that's going to be something interesting compared to Democratic Governor Andy Beshear, who is now seeking a second term. He's been governor through quite a bit of a tumultuous time, and a lot of folks there having feelings that range from very negative with him due to executive orders he issued, COVID-related things like that, to very positive feelings because he's been very successful with securing business for Kentucky. He's also been a very, very calm in such a crazy time that we've had the last couple of years. In September, we covered several other things as well, talking about the Cave City Christmas Parade returning after 2 years. That was something big. And, you know, Cave City there in northern Barron County, they are the face of Barron County a lot of the time there with 65 running straight through there. The Glasgow Electric Plant Board announced that they would be approving their first phase of broadband upgrades. That's something big. Broadband in our area, broadband internet speeds. I'm told that those speeds are going to be impressively fast. And our other utility partners in the area, they've been working on upgrades as well. Getting our community to a better spot, that's certainly a good thing to do. Moving on to October, we had a few things there we wanted to talk about, like the horse lawsuit that was dismissed. You know, we've talked about that here on this segment quite a bit already, but that horse lawsuit was dismissed, namely because of a statute of limitations, but that's why it's going to an appeals court, because the folks that filed that lawsuit there, they still allege that the Hale family, as well as the fiscal court, members of that court there, that they wrongfully took horses in the name of county government. And so we're going to continue to follow that story there. But as it pertains to local news, that horse lawsuit, it was dismissed, and we will see that carrying over into 2023. WCLU News hosted quite a few election type of events throughout the year. Two of those being in October, we held a couple of forums at the Historic Plaza Theater, and those were greatly attended. We thank the community for attending those. We were able to allow candidates the chance to get on stage to talk about some things from the community. We accepted questions, developed a committee that oversaw those questions, and that was a very good event for both nights. We did the Glasgow mayor's race on one night, and then we also did the county judge executive, jailer, sheriff, and county attorney in one other evening, and that was a very, very good event for folks to attend. In October, we broke the news about Keith Hill being overpaid for his sick days or his sick time that he accrued. State law does not allow someone in the education field or a state employee at all to accrue those sick days and then be paid out 100% for them. There's a cap out on the percentage of what those folks can be paid. But the Glasgow School Board is now working on that. So they're working to get that money back. But again, we still don't know exactly how that money is going to be reobtained. If it will, we'll hopefully see that be done in a quiet way and perhaps one way that is easily done instead of it having to go to court. That, to my understanding, is that it could potentially be litigated if it is not done in a way that the school board or Keith Hell are satisfied with. Western Kentucky University announced that they would be expanding some college access programs at their Glasgow campus. That's big news because the Glasgow campus has been pretty skimpy the last several years. You know, a lot of folks there are wondering about, well, why is the Glasgow campus or Owensboro campus, Eaton, why are they not paid attention to in such a way that the Bowling Green campus is? Well, obviously Bowling Green is the hub for Western Kentucky University, but this was a good call for WKU. They signaled their support for Glasgow and these surrounding communities, Monroe County, Metcalf County, even Cumberland County, for students in high school to get a head start in their collegiate education and to expand some of those programs in things like agriculture. And before we closed out October, we saw the unfortunate death of Tom Emberton, a judge here in the community and also a former former governor candidate. Mr. Emberton died there in a house fire and in a very, very fitting role. He was going back into the home purportedly to rescue some things to get his wife there. And, you know, we saw that death happen in October, but certainly that sting is going to remain for quite a while. in November 2022. Several things there. One of the big things headlining the news for that was the election. You know, locally, we saw quite a bit of a flip. Our judge executive's office going from a Democratic judge to a Republican judge, with Jamie Buley Bird from Michael Hale, and also our magistrates flipping as well. You know, we had five magistrates who would not be running again. Those five seats were open. Two of those seats there, they were reelected. The incumbents were reelected. So five new magistrates heading into the new year. We also had a new mayor to be elected in Henry Royce. City Council in Glasgow is going to stay fairly the same because there is only one newcomer, and that is Max Marion. There was one seat there that was available that folks chose to elect him. Also in November, we saw quite a bit of rain and wind that actually, unfortunately, canceled a couple of events. The Sip Shop and Stroll around the square and Sam Terry's walking tour of the Glasgow Municipal Cemetery. Good news is both of those events, they are now going to be planned for the spring, and that would be a good way to come out of the wintertime season. Nettie Depp, who is an educator and a trailblazer for education here in Glasgow and Barron County, she was from here. She had a statue of herself unveiled, and that was an impressive thing done by the state. We thank those individuals that saw that would come to fruition. It was done in a private ceremony at the state capitol, and now her statue resides there, just outside of one of the offices there in the state capitol. We also saw quite a bit of good news. Boys and Girls Club of Glasgow and Barron County was awarded quite a chunk of money, and this was a part of a widespread money dispersal, if you will, from the state government. That happened to several other clubs across the state, and they're going to be using that to develop their Cave City location. So hopefully in 2023, we'll begin to see that Cave City location that's going to be located there in the former Houchins building. They're going to build a Boys and Girls Club campus in Cave City for folks there. And lastly, Josh Turner was named the new South Green Elementary principal. South Green Elementary certainly doing a lot of construction project this year, and that will carry over into 2023. He's coming into this picture at a very appropriate time. He's been around South Green for quite a while as a teacher, and then eventually as an assistant principal, and now the principal. So we'll be excited to see how Mr. Turner handles moving into that role. And lastly, in December, a lot of things too. December tends to be a quiet month with folks, celebrating the holidays and things like that. One of the more important things that happened that was interesting was that Barron County magistrates and those that were elected that hadn't technically been magistrates yet, they attended a session with outgoing Judge Executive Michael Hale, and that was a bit of a unique situation. Hale there telling those magistrates-elect about things that he disapproved of, things he approved of, ongoing projects, things like that. It's not typical that we see those magistrates-elect coming into an event like that where the outgoing judge is pretty much giving them the spiel or the rundown of what's going on in county government. There were quite a bit of grievances released out in that meeting, but there were also some good things those magistrates carried away from that meeting. But again, it was a very unusual thing that was done by the outgoing judge. We talked with Nancy Houchins and Sherry Jones toward the end of the month about their retirement. And wow, those two ladies have given tireless dedication to Barron County government for several years, and we thank them so much. So thank you, Sherry Jones, Nancy Houchins, for all of the work that you've done. We can't thank you enough for that. And, I'll just recommend, if you want to go back and read that story, they gave so many things that I could have just giggled at each time. I was so impressed just to hear from them about working in county government 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, and how that was like, because Barron County government at one point was located in the basement of the courthouse, and then they were also dispersed across the whole community when the Barron County Government Center was being built, when the courthouse was undergoing some renovations in the 90s as well, so lots of things to know about. And then to close out our year, Aaron Shirley, who was elected as the new jailer in Barron County, he actually took office quite early because outgoing jailer Aaron Bennett, he left his post there just before Christmas. We didn't know exactly where he was going. He didn't tell us, but we found out that he is now a Mumfordville City Police officer. So Aaron Bennett has now left the post as jailer a little bit early, and he is now the new police officer in the city of Mumfordville there in Hart County. That's a wrap-up of 2022. It's been so difficult to pick and choose what we would go over, but this program being quite lengthy, we could have talked a lot more in-depth about each of these stories, but hopefully you got a little bit of insight and a little bit of remembrance about what we covered in 2022. Stick around with us at WCLU. We'll have lots of information in 2023. Download our app, WCLU Radio. Follow us on the web, WCLUradio.com, and stay connected with us. And thank you for trusting us to be your news source. I'm Brennan Crane. Have a great day.